Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Money Seat, the host where I put myself in the hot seat and bring on guests to ask me questions related to finance. The catch being, they have not sent me these questions beforehand, so they're asking me on the spot, and I'm hearing them in real time, just like you are. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my next guest today, Jason. And thanks for being here, and why don't you tell us a brief intro about yourself, Jason?
Hey, Ross. Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. As you said, my name is Jason. I currently live in the Sammamish area in Washington here. I'm from Michigan originally, and it's been out here for about 5 years, 6 years now. I'm single, no kids, kind of transitioned between careers recently, and now I'm in the environmental restoration, sustainable resources industry. So, having some fun with that, but during that time, this will lead into the first question, during that time frame of transition, yeah, I've kind of went from decent income to low income. So,
okay.
So finances haven't been the greatest, and, you know, a little bit of build up in credit card debt. But one of the first questions I have for you is, with having student loans is my biggest debt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, when I was making that good money, I didn't prioritize paying that down. What are your thoughts on, because now I'm in the position where I'm trying to rebuild my savings, so I've had to, you know, go through some of my savings. What are your thoughts on prioritizing rebuilding savings versus paying down debt, those kind of things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm going to ask you real quickly, what did you do before this? So you went from low paying to higher paying to lower paying. I'm assuming it's a career change, right?
It was a career change. I was a navigation officer on commercial ships.
Okay.
Cargo ships.
Interesting. Yeah. And that paid pretty well. It sounds like
it did.
All right.
It did well. I mean, I was gone for 5 to 8 months out of the year on ships.
Oh, okay.
I was easily making minimum $80,000 a year, and sometimes a decent six-figure income, depending on how much I worked in the year.
So. One of those transient kind of nomad kind of guys.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what was your major then? Are you still doing a similar field, or I'm curious?
No, it's so I have a two bachelor's degrees. I have a bachelor's degree in maritime technology along with
okay.
a license through the Coast Guard, because I was a licensed navigation officer.
Okay.
So driving ships. And then I also have a bachelor's in business administration. So
okay.
I'm kind of using more of a business degree.
Yeah. Now. Okay, that's good to know. Okay, so getting back to your question, and that's very common, especially people who they graduate college and they have a job and maybe it's paying them well, or to be honest, if it's paying them anything, it's amazing because you're not making anything. You go from zero to $40,000 or $50,000 a year and your whole world changes. And prioritizing those things are not what 20-year-olds or even early 30, late 20-year-olds are, you know, that's not life. I was the same way. I used to be an accountant and now I'm finance, which is actually a pretty different role. And yeah, I wasn't prioritizing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, maybe I should have been doing that sooner. So part of it is there's like things you want to do financially because there's interest rates and there's interest and stuff that builds up and money here. You know, putting money down here is going to save you more because credit cards have higher interest than student loans and then the market and then cash in the bank, right? But then there's a whole other side of things that just basically relate to you, Jason, and you mentally and psychologically and how you feel about this. So for some people, they're going to want to pay down the credit card debt, even if it's less, because they don't want to pay all that interest. And some people psychologically want to pay off the student loan debts, even if the interest rate's lower, because it's a larger amount and because it's going to mentally, they're going to sleep better at night. And some people are going to, it doesn't bother them. They're like, I don't care what my debts are. I just, you know, if anything happens to me, I don't have cash in the bank and I'm worried about that, right? And so you play with some numbers, you throw some stuff out there. So a lot of it has to do with, okay, me, what's important to me? How can I prioritize that? And once again, that's really something only you can figure out. And, you know, we could talk and, you know, that's something to do offline or another time to get to the bottom of that. But you really have to prioritize that goals, write them down, prioritize what's important to you. Once again, retirement concerns and stuff like that. On a general rule, though, it is important to pay off those higher interests first. If you had $100,000 of student loan debts and $5,000 of credit cards, that might not be the case. But if they're close, you know, credit cards are 18, 20, 25%, and you end up all of a sudden getting to a mountain, or sorry, what's the other? You keep trying to dig yourself out of a hole and you keep digging deeper and deeper. Student loans are just a little bit different because there's some forgiveness with them and there's a little bit more flexibility with them, but they're also usually higher. So a lot of times a general blanket recommendation would be take care of the minimum payment on the student loans, credit cards, pay as much as you can, just get that out of the way, assuming it's within reason. You know, I had people that are 5 or 10 and we could work stuff around. If you're looking at 50 or 100, then there you might actually have to go to a third party person, consolidate that debt, they'll wipe some of it out, they might reduce a rate. There's people who have 5 or 10,000, you can do balance transfers where you can move from one credit card to another and pay 0% interest for 12 months, and then bam, set up that payment plan, pay that out in the 12 months, work on the student loans next, and then make sure you have the emergency savings. So in a perfect world, you paid your minimum on your student loans, you're aggressively paying off your credit cards, and you can put a few $100 a month in your emergency cash. Yeah. You know, that's not always the reality for most people. So there's ways. So let's say this is what you want to do and you're like, well, there's not enough money to go to each of that, which is probably the case for you and most people, to be honest, right? Some are like, oh, I have too much money, Ross. What do I do with it? That's great. And I do have people like that. And for the most part, that's not how it is. So the next question is, well, there's really only three solutions you can do. One is you could find a way to make more money, which isn't always possible. It could be working longer hours. It could be getting a side hustle. That may or may not be possible. That's something you need to figure out on your own, but that's an option. The second one, which if you thought the first one was difficult, the second one is the most difficult, and it's changing your lifestyle and reducing your expenses. And it's just so hard. It's changing human nature. It's telling someone you can't get your $5 Starbucks every day, or you can't go right. It's so hard. It's possible, and it's something you can do with discipline and cut out a few $100. But you know, it's most of the time people say, I don't want to do that. And I just say that that's okay, by the way. That's fine. You don't have to change your lifestyle, but that's an option, and you need to know that. And then the third one would be maybe change your priorities. Maybe just understand that if you want to get all this stuff done and retirement and invest and grow your money, that might have to be pushed back to a later date. You might have to accept retiring a few years later, or retiring on less money, or changing some of those goals in order to accomplish these things. Because to be honest, you can't keep pushing out paying off credit cards and student loans for the most part, because it's something that's going to bury you alive both financially and mentally. And I do think people underestimate the mental side of it. I don't know about you, but I've had people who just are the happiest people in the world because they're student debt free. And it doesn't matter that they haven't built up a nest egg, because that freedom is just, you know, it's life's more about the money, more than just money, right? And so those are things I would give you some recommendations on as well. Once people figure those things out, then it's really easy to work either with me or whoever you want, or by yourself, to then tackle those things. So it's really a two-step process. Hopefully that kind of helped answer that question.
Yeah, it did. Thank you. And yeah, my general preference in this kind of situation, I mean, a couple of years ago before I quit sailing, I had easily 6 months to a year of savings that I could live on if something happened.
Perfect. Yeah.
It turns out I ended up having to live on a lot of that.
It's a good thing you had it, right? That's perfect. I'm glad you had it build up.
Yeah, it is perfect, but it's a horrible feeling to see that savings.
Yeah.
Not have income coming in to match it or surpass that.
And yeah.
It's been a very challenging and anxiety driven year. But so that's always my priority. And then, of course, paying down credit card debt, which when I was sailing, I was paying out. I didn't have credit card debt. But I've kind of accumulated, and then once you start doing it, I find that it gets easier for me to just keep charging it hard and not kind of ignoring it.
Yeah.
So you know, so I build that up and then my savings is dropping. So now it's like, I'm building up a new income stream and okay. I'm actually looking to hopefully build a couple different income streams.
Perfect.
So, I mean, but that takes time.
Yeah.
And effort and, you know, so it's like, I want things now.
I'm glad you brought that up because some people have alluded to that. And I like to tell everyone that what we do and what I do in this stuff is not immediate gratification. It's not get rich quick. This is hard, disciplined work. And that's actually where my value comes in, because I say this over and over again, but you could go on YouTube and watch all the workout videos you want and all the workout, buy all the workout equipment. But when it comes down to it, it's nice to have another person there writing you, holding you accountable to get in shape. And that's why I think, once again, I don't know why people don't stress the value of that. It's not buying Apple versus Amazon. It's saying, Jason, did you set up a cash flow? Are you paying down that credit cards? What was your spending this month? And knowing that if you do something wrong, there's me to kind of get on your butt, right? To be hold you accountable. And it's crazy how valuable that is, but you're right. Because human nature doesn't necessarily work like that, right? We want to win the lottery. We want to have a rich uncle die and leave us money. We want to have all the stuff solved at once. We want to get in shape and lose all the weight now. I get it. In money, it's even harder because you get more immediate gratification with, you can lose weight in a few months. With this financial stuff, it takes years. Right. And makes my job very frustrating, actually, because it takes a while to see this, but it will happen and you will see it. And I do, that's why I really try to reach as younger people as possible, because it is very hard. Once again, even if you're in your 30s and 40s, you can still do it. 50s and 60s does become a really steep mountain to climb. But that's really, you're right. I mean, and you're not alone. There's millions of people who feel that same way about this and a lot of other topics that aren't financial related. And having someone to hold their hand or hold them accountable helps them get this done, to be honest. It just really it, right? I mean, if there's someone at home who's going to be like, dude, why did you go out and buy, you know, all those Twinkies or what? Seriously, fast food again? Your mind will tell you that, but you kind of tune it out, right? And it becomes a thing. But if there's someone there shaming you, and it might come off wrong, but in a good way, right? In a good way of accountability. That's actually really powerful. And that's part of it. Once again, yes, there's a financial side, but the other side, it's human nature and you really can't do it. So you shouldn't feel bad on it. Anyone listening shouldn't feel bad about that stuff. If people were able to do it on their own, you know, my job and people who are personal trainers, those jobs wouldn't exist. Life coaches, all that stuff. So yeah, but I do hate to break it to you that it's tough. It's hard work. It's disciplined. Sounds like you're looking at the avenue of making extra income, which is great. So then once you do that, then you have to come up with a plan for that extra income so it doesn't just go on the credit card to buy stuff that maybe is frivolous and, right, not helpful. So you've taken a good step one, which is good, and I'm glad you did that. But there is more to it, unfortunately, man. It's not easy. I wish I had a rabbit on my hat, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. It's just – it's tough, right? It's not this easy stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right. And that accountability is huge. And that leads me into my next question.
So, all right. I mean, perfect.
As I, you know, got deeper and deeper into this financial situation, the anxiety comes up. Then I start to go back to my default habits of poor money management and spend more and just buy things that I think I need at the time when I don't really need them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I find myself going into those holes and, you know, I'm becoming more and more aware of it. But my next question is kind of building off of this, because it's like, I was raised in a family that didn't have much. You know, I acquired a lot of very limiting beliefs around money, around success, just because that's what I was raised in. That's the atmosphere and environment I was raised in. We didn't have much, the fixed mindset thinking. So I've had to spend almost a lifetime trying to figure out these beliefs that are holding back and either replace them, you know, do figure out how to change that, my perspective. And so what's your experience? What are your thoughts? What's your kind of guide on that kind of
thing? I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because literally that point is why I want to do this, is why I got into this business, is why I'm doing a podcast and radio show, because we spent time at home learning in school, learning about, I'm going to divide one first. Okay, at home, this stuff wasn't talked about because it was considered uncomfortable. You didn't talk about this with your, you didn't talk about this. You didn't talk about, maybe you talked about politics in your family. Maybe you talked about religion. You definitely didn't talk about sex, and you definitely didn't talk about money. I mean, it's just how it was. And so you learn these things the hard way through life. And unfortunately, with money and stuff, it's a lot of people either don't have the ability, the capacity, the wherewithal, the interest to learn it on their own. And it's not easy. And it's always lessons you learn the hard way over time. Once again, it's not like, oh, I made this one mistake once and now I'm going to fix it. For finances and money, it seems to be like 5 or 10 years. It's just this weird slow buildup and you lose too much time. So that's the first part. People don't discuss this at home, even if you have money or you don't have money. I'm not going to lie. People, I have clients, like everyone comes from different backgrounds, friends and family. It's not discussed. It's a hush-hush thing. And my goal of this is that, you know, you don't have to say, we have this much money, we have no money. You can still have competent conversations with your kids, with family members about this stuff. And if you don't want to, that's why I'm here, to help you, to teach kids about this, because unlike sex and other stuff, the school's also not going to help. And that's another issue, is that these are stuff that's not taught in schools. People aren't taught about, they call it like balancing a checkbook, but that's not really what it is. People aren't talking about cash flow. People aren't talking about the compounding interest rates and investing and inflation and the fact that the government's not going to take care of you, and you have to really, you're responsible for growing your own wealth and taking care of yourself, at least in America. And instead, you know, they teach you about calculus, right? And algebra and trigonometry and, you know, conjugating nouns or verbs. I didn't learn any of that, so I'm probably using that wrong. But yeah, but these things that really, for most people, aren't actually helpful. And you know, I want to go and teach, and we need to teach people and youths money lessons and give them sample classes and have them go through scenarios and talk to people and do this on their own. I remember at my old firm, we had this great program where we got to volunteer and go into K-8 and teach. We had a financial literacy day and we taught them stuff. They got to, it was like board games and different videos revolved around running a business, like creating a menu, creating prices, getting money, having students do this. First of all, they had a lot of fun, because they made it a fun thing. But two, they learned this stuff. They were talking to their friends about money and entrepreneurship and all this stuff. And it's just so important. So to bring it to your point, of course you didn't learn any of this, because there's no system designed for you to do it. And there's millions of Jasons around there who didn't learn this, whether you came from money or not. And by the way, even if you had come from money, they still wouldn't have taught you these lessons, most likely. And you could have just blown it all. And then you could have been left with nothing as well, because it's a similar thing. And unfortunately, this is a vicious cycle with a lot of people, with a lot of families. You don't see a lot of intergenerational wealth passed. You don't see 5 or 6 generations of wealth. It's just, you see like someone got really wealthy and they passed it on and passed it on, and 3 generations later, they're broke because someone didn't handle it well. They didn't know how to do this. No one taught them, right? They said, here, let me manage your money and I'll invest it for you. And no one taught them about the bigger picture stuff. So, you know, once again, Jason, just like before, yeah, you learn the stuff the hard way. It sucks. We can't go back in time and fix it. But at this point, my job is to make sure, you know, we don't make those mistakes in the future. We provide you with the advice, and you could kind of own that. And eventually, if you have kids or family members or friends or whoever, and you could have conversations with them or steer them to me or the right people to do that. Yeah, there's the answer to your question is yes. You the system failed you, to be honest. The school system and your parents didn't fail you. Trust me, that's not their fault. But you know, we weren't brought up to ask those questions and learn those things. And it's crazy because besides your health, there's not much more important things in life. If you don't have money, you can't do much. You're handcuffed in society, unless you find a rich significant other. And once again, you hit the lottery, you know, and that's a whole other conversation. Yeah, you're on your own, man. You're really on your own, and you're learning this the hard way. And like I was saying, I learned it the hard way too. It took me 5 years out of college till I became a financial professional to learn this. If I didn't join this industry, I might never have learned it. And I have an MBA. I have a business degree. My parents are accountants. My dad's an accountant, so they're all very financially savvy. And I might never have learned this. And I would consider myself above average for the knowledge. So, you know, what are people who are below average for knowledge, for interest, going to do? Yeah, it's a shame. So, yeah, once again, seek help. Seek help young. Seek help early. Understand you're not supposed to know this stuff. It's not taught. And I'm sorry. I apologize that the system failed you. That's the best I can do. But hopefully going forward, the ball's in your court. You know, take action. It's hard. It's disciplined. It's going to take a little bit, but eventually you'll get everything done on your end. Just beware of the internet doesn't have all the answers. So also be cautious of that. Just like for anything, beware of Googling the stuff. It's good and bad. Just like going to WebMD and diagnosing yourself. It's the, just be careful, okay? So hopefully that helped a little bit.
It did, yeah. And one of the big lessons I've learned over the last 2 years is surrounding myself with people that I trust and that I know can actually help move me in the directions I want to go.
Perfect.
And, you know, power of association, learning from people that actually have what you want.
Yeah.
So I've got a decent support team around me now that I can count on to call me out, or
yes,
I can count on for advice or guidance, and I know I'm going to be led in the right direction.
That's
a direction better than what I've been doing on my own or for my family.
Yeah, that's perfect, and I'm glad you took the initiative to seek that out. Age helps. I would say maybe 10, 15 years ago I could relate in their teens or 20s, probably would be a little shy or might not take that initiative, which makes it a little harder. So a lot of the stuff is age and life experience and stuff. And
pride. A lot of it was pride for me.
I'm glad you said that, because you're right. And part of what I want to talk to people about is with this stuff, there is no shame. And knowing that there's literally millions and millions of Jasons out there who didn't learn any of this stuff, and it's not your fault, and you don't have to know this stuff. And I'm sorry that the system failed you, but you do need to understand that this is important, and you have to find some help, and you need help. And whether it's you or a professional or whatever, you can't do this alone, man. It's so hard. I do this. I mean, I'm a financial professional. I know how hard it is to do it on my own, but I have lots of clients that I do this for, and this is my job, right? If this isn't your job, you have jobs, you have lives, you have families. I can't imagine you doing this on your own if you have all that other stuff to do, and you probably shouldn't. So, you know, it's a lot. And you're right. I think the pride thing was a great comment, to be honest, because it's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about. There's nothing wrong saying I have debt. I don't have any in savings. What should I do? That's what we're here to help you for. That's the point of this podcast, is to help the exact people in your situation, knowing that, yeah, let's set up a plan. And in 10, 20 years, if you're patient and disciplined, you're going to be in great shape and you'll be happy. And in 10 or 20 years, I'll get a thank you. So that's nice. I do it for the 10 or 20 year from now thank you.
Right.
I also don't do it for immediate gratification for people.
Right.
Yeah, which is weird, which is actually why it works. That's a profession. If you don't want immediate gratification, this is a good profession for you. For those listeners out there.
That makes sense. I think that's one of our biggest struggles and problems in our culture, at least, is that is how we're raised. We want things now, and we expect it to happen now with little effort, and we shouldn't have to do anything. It should just be that way, you know.
I agree.
I've had to rewire my brain in that regard too. It's like, no, yes, I want it now, but I actually have to put in the work.
Yeah, so. And that's us. We're millennials. There's a whole new generation that's even more about the instant gratification. And a lot of it is society and being able to get everything you want now, right? When we were growing up, and it makes us sound old, but I feel like we are old. You couldn't order a package from Amazon and get it the same day or tomorrow. if you missed your show on TV, you better have recorded it with the VHS tape. Otherwise, you might see it in 20 years from now as a rerun, right?
Right.
So all that kind of leads into this. And I just, yeah, it's very important to not apply those to this stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't apply that to, once again, getting in physical and better shape in your health. And same with financially. Financially was one of the longest things that takes time for life. And part of it has to do with just time value of money, compounding interest, and you know, inflation, which just takes time as well. If you know math, and a lot of people who might know this stuff just knows that compounding interest takes a long time, and then eventually you see results, but it takes time. So hopefully that helps. Think we ran right into the time frame for what we're doing. If you have any other questions, I'd love to hear them offline or another time, but I want to make sure we have some time to sign off and do our disclosures that I have to do. So thank you very much, Jason. That was great questions. And I appreciate you coming on. And hopefully you learned and the audience learned a little bit about what they're doing and maybe take some action. And I accomplished my goal today.
Yeah. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for listening. And we'll see everyone on another episode of The Money Seat. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. All performance reference is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful.